الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
Thank you. most, please. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Right, tonight's recitation, inshallah. Brother, just help the masjid, please. I was going to carry on saying it and carry on disturbing me as well. Right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Tonight's recitation, inshallah, we will be starting with Surah An-Nisa. So we will conclude with the fourth juz of the Quran, and then we will conclude the fifth juz of the Quran as well. We will do approximately, we'll do the vast majority of Surah An-Nisa. Tomorrow, we will finish Surah An-Nisa. Surah An-Nisa is another Madani surah, meaning it was revealed in Medina Munawwara. As you mentioned yesterday, the surahs that are revealed in Medina Munawwara, they focus especially on the ahkam, on rulings, on legislation, on commandments, on what we should do and what we shouldn't do. As opposed to the surahs that were revealed in Makkah al-Mukarrama, and those surahs, they would focus more on tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, risalah, the finality of the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Both contain one another. But the primary focus of Madani surahs is on ahkam, on rulings, on fasting, on salah, on things like that. As opposed to the Makkan surahs, they would focus primarily on the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's quite understandable as well, because the people were new to Islam. They had just left shirk. So the first thing you need to remove from them is the essence of shirk, you know, the effects of shirk from their hearts completely. And to show the mushrikeen as well that what you are doing is completely, you know, stupid. But once they went to Medina Munawwara, now Islam had settled. Medina Munawwara, Islam had now become a khilafah. It had now become established. So now it was time for the rulings to come down. And that's why if anyone comes to you and they bring a verse or a hadith from the time of the Meccan period, and then say, but you know what, this hadith says this, and you have proof from the Madani period, you can see it doesn't make sense anymore, does it? If someone comes to you tomorrow and tells you, but you know the Sahaba used to drink alcohol, mashallah, yes, in Mecca they used to, what's your point? What about all the ahadith and all the ayat that came down in Medina Munawwara? That is why it is very important for you and I not to become beguiled by the fallacy of the idiots. There's no other way for me to put it. It's the best way I can put it. I don't have any kinder words for them. Any other words that will come out is not fitting for the masjid, quite simply put. But that is what they are. You cannot take an incident that took place in Makkah Mukarramah in the beginning of Islam and then try to apply that 1400 years down the line, completely ignoring the entire Madani period, where laws were established. Fasting wasn't legislated in Makkah Mukarramah. Well, Ashura, but aside from Ashura. So if someone comes to you tomorrow, I didn't have to fast Ramadan, only Ashura and done. You tell him, eh, Bawakuf, give him one slap and send him from there. Same. Alright, so Surah An-Nisa, this surah literally means the women. And it deals primarily with family rulings, with societal rulings, with the rulings of the weaker classes. I say weaker classes because it refers to women and orphans as well, both. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before we even go into that, you know, there's one ayah in this surah. This ayah comes twice in the Quran. Once in this surah, and the second time it comes in Surah Muhammad in the 26 juz of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Why do you not ponder over the Quran? The Quran is being recited. Why is it just the only thing we are paying attention, paying attention to? That is, if we are even paying attention to, is whether it is being recited nicely or not nicely. Aside from that, we do not care. Allah Ta'ala is saying, what is wrong with you and I? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Why can we not ponder over the recitation of the Quran, over the meaning of the Quran? What is the Quran telling us? The Quran is not a songbook. When you just listen to something, that is nasheeds. I'm not saying you should listen to nasheeds just for listening as well. But that is nasheeds. The Quran isn't just running in the background and we carry on. No. And Allah Ta'ala is telling you and I that, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Why do we not ponder over the Quran? What is Allah Ta'ala telling you and I? That is the first thing. Anyway, this entire surah is a Madani surah except one verse in the surah. One verse in the surah was revealed in Makkah al-Mukarramah. But when it was revealed during Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, so after the Madani period, that part is not considered to be the Makkan period, although it was revealed in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And that is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Many of you will know the story behind it. It comes about from time to time. Uthman ibn Talha, radiallahu anhu, he was the key holder of the Kaaba. When Fath Makkah took place, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for him. He took the keys, he entered the Kaaba, he prayed salah, he did all of that. When he came out of the Kaaba itself, Bilal radiallahu anhu was there, Ali radiallahu anhu was there, everyone now wants the key. Why? It's an honor. You are the gate holder, you are the custodian of the Kaaba, of the Baytullah. What greater honor can there be than that? What does Allah Ta'ala do? Allah Ta'ala sends down wahi. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah Ta'ala tells you that you return the trusts to its people. Trust was given to Uthman ibn Talha before Islam. Understand the importance of trusts. If someone entrusts you with something, if Allah Ta'ala sent down the Qur'an telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to honor the trust that was upheld before Islam, imagine the importance of upholding the trust that is done during the period of Islam. We take trust like it is a joke. Someone gives you something, I don't know, whatever. It doesn't work like that. It is a responsibility upon the trustee to return it. Right, inshallah, I won't get kicked out of here. But the masjid, the trustees, it is your responsibility as trustees. I'm not saying they've done anything wrong, right? Please, no one take my words. Have to criticize everyone equally, including myself. I'm not beyond reproach either. The trustees of the masjid, it is their responsibility to uphold the rights of the masjid. We today are trustees of Islam. It is our responsibility to uphold the rights of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is our responsibility to convey the correct image of Islam, the correct image of the commandments of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right, anyway, going back to Surah An-Nisa. So, Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. Allah ta'ala reminds you and I that we are brothers and we are sisters. Bugger the fact that you are black, bugger the fact that you are white. Ignore it. It does not matter, you know, Bangladeshi, majority of the Bangladeshi community here, right? So you go for the Bangladesh. It doesn't matter whether he's from Dhaka or he's from Sylhet. I still don't understand this one. It doesn't matter. Baba, at the end of the day, you're both Bangla Manush. Bangla Manush in Celtic. I learn from what the brothers tell me. I don't know. Right. As the brothers taught me, Ami Bangla Matam Farina. That's the only thing I know. Right. It doesn't matter. Allah Ta'ala is bringing us back to the tie of kingship. We are brothers. Over there, they are sisters. They are our sisters and we are their brothers. It doesn't mean you start making, you know, all my sister in Islam and then mashallah shaking hands. That's all haram. Leave that nonsense aside. But Allah Ta'ala is telling us, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَأَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Fear Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala brings about a quality of His. You ask in the name of Allah. Fear that Allah in whose name you ask. And then fear breaking family ties. As a predominantly Asian community here, I can guarantee you almost every single family here has a problem. We cannot uphold our family ties. One small thing happens, khalas. I will never speak to him again. I say this story no matter when whenever I have to speak our family ties. There was a brother, I know this family very well. I knew them once upon a time rather. The father had a problem with his brother in Pakistan, his cousin. Not even his brother, his cousin in Pakistan. His son from England, Green Street, wealthy family. He went with his children to Pakistan. The father's cousin, meaning his uncle, told him, why don't you come to my house for a dawat? Why not? Went over there. Fast forward, whatever, however many weeks, he comes back to England. Phoning, no one wants to pick him up at the airport. Nothing. What's going on? Okay, Tika. He makes his way back to Green Street, Upton Park, midnight. He makes his way back to Green Street. Train, taxi, whatever he took. Tries to open the door, can't open the door. The father, meaning the grandfather, he changed the locks of his son's house. Why? How dare he go and speak to my cousin when I told him not to speak to him? The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ar-rahimu mu'allaqatun bil arsh." تقول من وقال من وصلني وصله الله ومن قطعني قطعه الله. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned Allah Ta'ala has hung family ties from his arsh. From the throne of Allah, it hangs. And daily it makes the dua. What dua? Man wasalani wasalahu Allah. Oh Allah, whoever joins me, you join him to you. Wa man qata'ani qata'ahu Allah. And oh Allah, whoever cuts me off, you cut him off from your mercy. Is that not enough of a lesson and a warning for you and I that we should rekindle our family ties? ليس الواصل بالمكافي ولكن الواصل الذي إذا قطعت رحمه وصلها. The person who joins family ties isn't the person who when his brother is talking to him, he goes and talks to him. No. Joining family ties is when that family member doesn't talk to you. When they have hatred for you in their hearts. You go to them. You say, Assalamu alaikum. How are you? Be it your brother, be it your sister. Blood brother, blood sister. Be it your uncle, your auntie. Unfortunately, our Asian community, the only thing we are good at is having family problems. I work in the prison, right? And everyone asks me one thing, as an imam in the prison, which community do you find the most? So I'm quite honest, unfortunately, I'm quite honest. I said, you'll find a lot of Bangladeshis, you'll find a lot of Pakistanis, but you won't find Gujaratis. Why you won't find Gujaratis? Because they're too busy fighting amongst themselves to actually fight with anyone else and end up going into prison. No, it's a reality. It's a reality. You know, but this is the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up Surah An-Nisa with. Throughout this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the rights of women. When it comes to nikah, when it comes to talaq, when it comes to mediation, when it comes to inheritance, in America up till the 1950s, I believe, women were not allowed to hold property. Up till the 1950s, you know, the so-called bastion of the modern world. Islam, 1400 years ago, established لا يحل لكم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يحل لكم أن ترثوا النساء كرها. You cannot take anything. That's specific. The tafsir of it is different, but I'm just using for the meaning here. You cannot take anything from the women without the explicit permission. Your wife's money is her money. It is not your money. Your money isn't her money either, but she has a right in your money. Right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks so much about it, of inheritance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off with the orphans. Why? Because they are the weakest of our society. They are the most, you know, if you cannot have mercy on an orphan, then as the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, there's no good. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أنا وكافر اليتيم كهاتين يوم القيامة. Me and that person who looks after an orphan will be like this on the day of Qiyamah. And he even said that if you want to bring softness within your heart, you should rub the head of an orphan. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about gender roles. People don't like to hear this. Some sisters don't like to hear it. And some, mashallah, white knights amongst our brothers don't like to hear it either. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. Women have their responsibilities, their roles, their rights, and their privileges. Men have their responsibilities, their roles, their rights, and their privileges. Don't mix the two up. Unfortunately, in our community, I'll give you the two famous examples. The men, they have to come to the masjid for salah, right? Who doesn't want to come to the masjid for salah? The men. And who doesn't have to come to the masjid for salah? Women. They don't have to come to the extent where the Prophet ﷺ said it is more rewarding for them to read salah within the innermost confines of their home. To understand it in modern day perspective, if they had a walk-in wardrobe, for them to read salah within their walk-in wardrobe is more rewarding for them than to read salah within the bedroom. To the extent, hadith of Ghalib al-Bukhari. Then the second one. I'll be honest, I speak for myself, right? If someone were to come and tell me tomorrow, you don't have to work, we'll pay your bills. MashaAllah. I'm sitting at home, I'm 100%. I'm not shy about it. There's no shame. Women, they don't have to do that. What's the first thing they want to fight for? How we can go work. Have we not made gender roles reversed? Allah Ta'ala is saying, Allah Ta'ala has given each party certain virtue. Take the virtue. Embrace it. Make it part of you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about salah. Right? Two more points and we'll conclude inshaAllah. The importance of salah and the two concessions that were made in salah as well. Number one, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Comes in this tonight's recitation, this surah. Salah has been prescribed upon you upon a fixed time. Fajr, summertime is coming. You can't say I'll wake up when I wake up in the morning with my 8 o'clock alarm and then read Salah, Fajr there. That is not the time for Salah. You cannot make Salah qadha without a valid reason. That is a major sin. The importance of Salah comes about how? Salatul Khawf. Salatul Khawf was a Salah that was legislated during the 7th or 8th year. Not even right. So, Battle of Trenches, Battle of Khandaq. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then would they read Salah upon horseback, holding weapons. And they would move forward and backwards as well. If Salah was legislated at a time like that, what excuse do you and I have? And number two, so Allah Ta'ala says, I can't remember, right? And the second one is, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. صَلَاةُ الْقَصْرِ. You know, when you are traveling, for Isha you need 2 rakats, for Maghrib you need 1.5 rakats. You know that, right? No, you don't, please. Maghrib you need 3, no 1.5 rakats. And Fajr you need 2, you'll know about Salat Safar. The last point, inshallah, is the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Imam al-Hakim rahimahullah brings it in his Mustadrak al-Sahihain. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, Inna fi Surat al-Nisa'i la khamsu ayatin. There are 5 ayat in Surat al-Nisa. If I were to be offered the entire dunya and what it contains, ma yasurruni, I would not be pleased with it. What are those 5 ayats? Number 1, Inna Allah la yadhlimu mithqala dharrah. Wa in taku hasanatan yudha'ifha wa yu'ti min ladunhu ajran 'azima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oppress, will not oppress on the day of Qiyamah to the extent of an atom's weight. Allah Ta'ala will not increase you in your wrong deeds, no matter what. No matter how evil you have been, Allah Ta'ala will not increase you in the evil deeds. However, Allah Ta'ala will multiply in your good deeds. Number two, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will forgive every sin except that shirk. The other ayah to show that if you make sincere tawbah, shirk will also be forgiven. Number three, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ وَجَدَ اللَّهُ تَوَّابًا رَّحِيمًا. When they committed sins, if they came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him to seek forgiveness on their behalf, or they themselves sought forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah would have forgiven them. There are two more ayats, I'm way over time. All of them are to do with the mercy of Allah and seeking forgiveness. In this surah here, there's at least six or seven times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, Allah is Ghafoor al-Rahim. So tonight's recitation, when you come across these ayats, in your heart obviously, ask Allah that Allah forgives you. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استووا أقيموا صفوفكم وسدوا الخلل الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا سمع الله لمن حمدا
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين الحمد لله